Deuteronomy 1. These are the words which Moses spoke to all Israel across the Jordan in the wilderness, in the Arabah opposite Suf, between Paran and Tophel, and Laban and Hazeroth and Dizahab. It is 11 days' journey from Oreb to the way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea. And it came about in the 40th year, on the first day of the 11th month, that Moses spoke to the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had commanded him to give to them. And after he had defeated Sihon, the king of the Amorites, who lived in Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, who lived in Ashtaroth and Edrei, across the Jordan to the land of Moab, Moses undertook to expound this law, saying, "The Lord our God spoke to us at Oreb, saying, 'You have stayed long enough at this mountain. Turn and set your journey and go to the hill country of the Amorites and to all their neighbors in the Arabah, in the hill country and in the lowland, the Negev by the seacoast, the land of the Canaanites and Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. See, I place the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to them and their descendants after them. And I spoke to you at that time, saying, I am not able to bear the burden of you alone. The Lord your God has multiplied you, and behold, you are this day as the stars of heaven for a multitude. May the Lord, the God of your fathers, increase you a thousandfold more than you are, and bless you just as he has promised you. Now, how can I bear the load and burden of you and your strife? Choose wise and discerning and experienced men from your tribes, and I will appoint them as your heads. And you answered me and said, the thing which you have said to do is good. And so I took the heads of your tribes, wise and experienced men, appointed them heads over you, leaders of thousands and of hundreds, of fifties, of tens, and officers for your tribes. Then I charged your judges at that time, saying, hear the cases between your fellow countrymen and judge righteously between a man and his fellow countrymen or the alien who is with him. You shall not show partiality in judgment. You shall hear the small and the great alike. You shall not fear man, for the judgment is God's. And the case that is too hard for you, you shall bring to me, and I will hear it. And I commanded you at the time all the things that you should do. Then we set out from Oreb and went through all that great and terrible wilderness which you saw on the way to the hill country of the Amorites, just as the Lord our God had commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said to you, you have come to the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is about to give us. See, the Lord your God has placed the land before you. Go up, take possession, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has spoken to you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Then all of you approached me and said, let us send men before us, that they may search out the land for us and bring back to us word of the way by which we should go up and the cities which we shall enter. And the thing pleased me, and I took 12 of your men, one man for each tribe, and they turned and went up into the hill country and came to the valley of Eshcol and spied it out. Then they took some of the fruit of the land in their hands, brought it down to us, and they brought us back a report and said, it is a good land which the Lord our God is about to give us. Yet you were not willing to go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. And you grumbled in your tents and said, because the Lord hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go up? Our brethren have made our hearts melt, saying, the people are bigger and taller than we, and the cities are large and fortified to heaven, and besides, we saw the sons of the Anakim there. Then I said to you, do not be shocked nor fear them. The Lord your God who goes before you will himself fight on your behalf, just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you, just as a man carries his son in all the way which you have walked until you came to this place. But for all this, you do not trust the Lord your God who goes before you on your way to seek out a place for you to encamp in fire by night and cloud by day and show you the way in which you should go. Then the Lord heard the sound of your words and he was angry and took an oath saying, not one of these men, this evil generation, shall see the good thing which I swore to give your fathers. Except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it, and to him and to his sons I will give the land on which he has set foot, because he has followed the Lord fully. The Lord was angry with me also on your account, saying, not even you shall enter there. Joshua, the son of Nun, who stands before you, he shall enter there. Encourage him, and he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Moreover, your little ones, who you said would become a prey, and your sons, who this day have no knowledge of good or evil, shall enter there, and I will give it to them, and they shall possess it. But as for you, turn around and set out for the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Then you answered and said to me, We have sinned against the Lord. We will indeed go up and fight, just as the Lord our God commanded us. And every man of you girded on his weapons of war and regarded it as easy as to go up to the hill country. And the Lord said to me, Say to them, Do not go up nor fight, for I am not among you, lest you be defeated before your enemies. So I spoke to you, but you would not listen. Instead, you rebelled against the command of the Lord and acted presumptuously and went up into the hill country. And the Amorites who lived in that hill country came out against you and chased you as bees do and crushed you from Seir to Hormah. Then you returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord did not listen to your voice nor give ear to you. So you remained in Kadesh many days, the days that you spent there. Amen. Let's do a little review. I'll be doing a little bit of review each time so we don't bombard you with everything here. The book of Deuteronomy is phrase. It should say a copy of the law. The word is from the Latin deutero, which means two, the second. And it's basically a reading of the second law. Now, it's not the second law, but what it is it's Moses' rendering again of the laws. So you have to remember, 40 years takes place now from this time. And so after 40 years, that generation, all the way back in Numbers 12, remember when they sent out the spies, they rejected God's commissioning, and they were basically punished. So they wandered in the wilderness for these 40 years. And so when that happens, that generation now dies out. There's a whole nother generation that rises up, and that's where Moses is at now. And so he's reiterating the laws. And so chapter 1, he's just basically going through a history, basically saying, this is what's happened to you guys. This is what's happened to our people. And he recounts the spy story. He recounts even his own punishment. What's taken place that he is not able to enter in except for Joshua. And so this is thus where we get the word Deuteronomy from. The Hebrew of this is actually Devarim, which is more proper. In the Pentateuch, which is the first five books of the law of the Old Testament, they usually would use the first phrases in the sentence to depict the title, and so this would be the words which Moses spoke. And that would be the idea, so that's what it is in Hebrew. Unfortunately, the Septuagint, the translation, is a bit off. If you can believe it or not, they actually mistranslated the book, and they wrote the second law, which should just simply read a copy of the law. Do you guys understand? You probably don't care. It's okay. In any case, I thought it was kind of interesting. Obviously, this is, again, the writings of Deuteronomy, or writings of Moses, and he's laying out the laws again. Now, they're at the plains of Moab, about to settle into their inheritance. And so, it's important for Moses to take a step back with the people, with a newer group of people, and basically retell the history, retell the story. It's kind of like, this is where we came from, this is what we've been doing all this time, and this is why we've had to do this. Basically relaying what's basically happening to the people. And it makes absolute sense. For us at SP, it's important for us to constantly remind people, not necessarily where we came from, but the vision and what our church is about, what God has been speaking to us about, how he formed us, because we constantly have new people coming in and out, over and over again, new people in and out all the time, and you will, and if you don't make mention of the past, and if you don't make mention of your history, And not so much, well, this is what happened, this is what happened, this is what happened, but more so of why we do things now is because of our history and how God leads us. What we're going to do in the future is because of our history. This is the story of how God has led us through. And so if you guys took EG, Experiencing God, basically we're talking about spiritual markers. and how that informs us about the path that we should lead or take into the future. And we see this really manifesting. I mean, if I can give you an aside for a moment to understand, we recognize as leadership, we recognize that there needs to be more of the values and understanding need to be really pressed in. These are just some observations I made about church. It has nothing to do with Deuteronomy, okay? But I'll just share them with you anyway. In relation to, you know, old and new and all these things, one of them is, if you notice that if there's a couple or single people that are at church, and they get they get married here, or they come to SP without having kids, when they have kids, and so on and so forth, ministry doesn't diminish. In other words, they're still serving, they're still house church leaders, they're still ministering, all these things, because they have that DNA inside of them before their life got really busy and hectic. And so that DNA sustains them throughout. Now, you have a couple that comes after they're married or they have kids already, they rarely serve at all. Because they don't have that DNA. That's their life. They're busy with work. They're busy with their family and all those kinds of things. And you notice that most of these people, I'm not saying this is good people, bad people. This is observation, okay? But what basically happens is people are so caught up in their life, they don't have that DNA of serving and sacrificing and whatnot. And so they just don't serve. I mean, it's a really interesting, and so we've been trying to, you know, figure out ways of getting people that are already in that life stage, that you get so involved with your kids and whatnot, to break them out of that cycle to say, hey, man, you know, this is part of your discipleship or your worship to the Lord is really important. That's one observation. The other observation is in terms of giving. Let me share this with you guys. We notice that if we go through the numbers, SP's been growing, which has been great the last few years. It's been growing and whatnot, so we have a lot more people. But interesting enough, our giving is actually diminishing. And so, you know, what's been happening is new people are coming. They don't have that DNA yet. And so basically the old people are leaving, right? And so then, you know, you have that minus on that side, but you would assume that with an increase of population, there would be an increase of giving, but population is going up and giving is actually going down, which basically says new people that are coming are not giving, basically. And it's not, I mean, that's not a bad thing. Well, I mean, it is a bad thing, but it's not like the end of the world, because what it says to me is they don't quite have the DNA yet. That we need to disciple them and to really bring them into worship, I mean, true worship of the Lord, you know, from wherever they came from, and then it's going to pick up. So I'm not concerned about money, if that's what you're, you know, if that's the end of all this. But it just proves a point of exactly what Moses is going through, right? He's now got a younger group of people that he needs to reorient into the ways of God. And so that's why it's important to constantly come back on these major themes in terms of teaching the church, but also here with Moses. So this is the copy of he's basically retelling the story, because he's telling people, look, this is who we are. This is, you know, have you enjoyed walking around the wilderness? You know, most of these guys would be like 18, 19 years old, okay? I mean, they're not old men. I mean, a handful of them, but very rare, few of them. And the young kids, and so he's got to reinstitute the law. This is what the Jewish people have been very, very proficient at, is teaching their young the ways of the Lord. Very, very proficient. You know, they have a Talmud school. If you, like in the U.S., I had some Jewish friends, and man, these guys woke up so early, man. You know, we went to school at 8 o'clock. These guys were at school at 6 o'clock. You know, they're in Torah school, basically, and learning Hebrew and all these things. And then they went to school afterwards. No wonder they're stinking smart, man. You know what I mean? I mean, these guys had to study overtime just for their own personal things. and whatnot. And this was, you know, when God told the Israelites, he says, teach your children. I mean, and that's exactly what they did, right? And it's I mean, really, it's quite an amazing system that is still going on today. And so he's telling these guys what happened in the Exodus. He's relaying them to them. You'll notice that whenever God speaks about himself, what does he always say? He says a couple phrases all the time. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So he's a generational God. He's the God of the Father, the Son, and or I should say more like the wisdom of the old, the wise, the resources and power of the present generation, and the potential and zeal of the future generation. And that's who God is. God works generationally, but he'll also a lot of times say, I'm the God who brought you out of Egypt. And so he's always mentioning the past that brings credibility to what's going on today and what's going to happen in the future. And so he's relaying this whole story out. He's telling these guys, this is what happened. This is what you've been going through. This is why you're going through this mess right now. And we sent people out. It would be a different story. We sent people out. They came back and gave a bad report. And so this is what we're living through. The major theme of Deuteronomy is actually really simple. And in fact, you can say the major theme of even the first five books is quite simple. I'll break it down for you really quickly. There is great blessing when you obey God. You obey God, there's a tremendous amount of blessing and favor that comes your way. You disobey God. In other words, you don't listen to the Lord. There are grave consequences to that. Not just lack of blessing, but grave consequences to disobeying God. And so he presents, so Israelites, just obey God. That's really all you have to do. And the really Jesus coming into this whole picture is basically another way of talking about these laws. That now it's more like, you know, you do this, it's blessing, you do this, it's punishment. They both actually come from the same root, which is love. And Jesus becomes the full manifestation, or in other words, a clear picture of what that's like. Even the word logos in John, it says, in the beginning was the word, was logos. Logos just simply means it's the word they use for intelligence, but you know that's where we get the word logical and those type of things. But even more than that, it's what the scholars consider divine expression that could be understood in human terms. It's probably the best definition you'll ever hear of what intelligence or logos is. It's kind of like, have you ever had a professor in school that was so stinking smart? I mean, the dude was smart, but he couldn't teach worth a lick. You know what I mean? I mean, the guy was a genius, Nobel Prize, all these things. But the worst teacher, he was just smart. He didn't have logos. He was not able to articulate his wisdom or his intellect in a way that we can understand. That's what logos is. It's not just intelligence, it's divine expression, but in a way that humans, that we can understand. In other words, it's a great teacher. And so that's what Jesus is able to take all the Old Testament principles and ideas and law, but express it in a way that we can really, really understand. And that's really the power of the gospel, or the power of Christ. Just a couple things to look at. If you notice, it's just Joshua and Caleb are the only ones that get into the promised land. And we get a really clear understanding of why in verse 36. Well, 35 says, not one of these men, this evil generation, shall see the good land which I swore to give your fathers, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him and to his sons I will give the land on which he has set foot, because he has followed the Lord fully. He has followed the Lord fully. Why is Caleb, and they'll also say the same thing about Joshua. Why does he get this special blessing and treatment? Because they fully follow the Lord. There's something about 100%. You know what I mean? Something about 100%. I remember one of my pastors years ago, he said this in one of his sermons, and it always stuck with me. And he said, you know what? He said, I'd rather have a guy, you know, someone at church that gives 100% for a short time, just for a short time, than someone that gives 95% for like 40 years. And because that 5% is everything. It's everything. And it says, you know, I'd rather have, if I'm thinking of a disciple, someone that just for a short time just gives 100% than someone that gives 90, 95% their whole life. And that's what sets apart Joshua and Caleb. They gave 100% all the time. And there was something very special, unique, beautiful about who they were. And as a result, there's the blessing of the Lord upon their life. Look at John. John basically had a ministry that lasted 2 years tops. I mean, really, 2 years tops. More likely, probably a year and a half or so. And what did Jesus say? There's no greater among, you know, born out of women than John the Baptist. See, the way that we scale things in our current, you know, the way we model, look at success and whatnot is very different than the way God looks at success. It's not about so much fruit that you know, we have this idea, like even in churches, oh yeah, you have this many people, you must be a great church. No, not really, right? Not really. You could just put on a huge, you know, great productions, you know, like some kind of Broadway show and whatnot. And that doesn't mean it's a great church. But we look at, God looks at these things in a very different way. And I think it's a real challenge for us to fully follow the Lord. And so, let's close our eyes. Let me just ask you one question as we get into time of worship and prayer. What is holding you back from fully following the Lord? What is it that is holding you back right now from fully following Jesus? Fear, insecurity, anxiety, comparison, insecurity. Past hurts. What is preventing you today from fully following Him? Come make us humble.
We turn our eyes from evil things. Oh Lord, we cast down our idols. So give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob, oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob. So give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob, oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob, oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob, oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob.
Let's pray, huh? Let's go back to that question. What is preventing you today from giving God your very best? From fully following the Lord? Are there desires that are competing? Have a discussion. God said, come, let us reason together. Have a discussion with Him as we pray and seek His face. Let's pray together. Let's go to our community prayers and let's pray for our community that are battling cancer. Let's pray for God's encouragement and God's healing power. Let's pray for our community that's battling illness but also needs salvation. Let's pray for God's healing physically and spiritually. Let's pray for our community battling non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community looking for work. Let's pray for God's provision. Let's go to our mission focus. Let's pray for Singapore. Pray for SPSG. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide them, especially as they get ready to come to the retreat as well. Pray for Indonesia. Pray for SP Indonesia, Pastor Selamat, and all the helpers, and help them to continue to grow in the Lord. Pray for a mission trip in Kupang this summer. Pray for all the preparations and that Holy Spirit would just lead and just call people to go and minister into this city. And let's pray for God's hands. Pray for Singapore, Indonesia. Let's pray for our missions committee. Pray for particularly Pastor Ricky as he leads. Pray for each member to really lead our church, to really be prayerful and diligent in our missions endeavors. So let's lift up our committee. Let's pray for our local outreach. Pray for our community center, and Agape, homeless ministry, SP Lights, Freedom and Bridge. And let's pray that our outreach leaders and pastors and teams would just do well and really minister effectively into our communities. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our activities tonight. Let's pray for SPU, EG. We have our retreat tonight, if you could pray particularly. Our IP and Yahweh, Friday Night Fire. Let's just ask God's hand to be with us as the community gathers together for various events. And if I could ask you particularly pray for EG retreat, there's 9 people that will make our way to Mawan tonight. And let's just ask for God's presence to be with us. Lastly, let's pray for the retreat. Let's pray for Pastor Benjamin. Pray for all the logistics. Pray for real unity as God's people gather together. And pray the presence of God, the ministry of the Spirit, would just flow unhindered throughout our time. Pray, Father, we thank you. God, thank you this morning, Lord. We want to be people that obey your laws, God. We want to be people that run hard after you, Father, that receive the blessing, Lord, of obedience instead of the punishment and discouragement of disobedience, God. Lord, help us to fully follow you in all that we do, God. And whatever barriers, whatever gets in the way of us following you fully, God, we just pray for forgiveness. We pray for strength to overcome. And we pray that, Holy Spirit, that you would lead us and guide us, God, to break barriers into our life, God, that we may fully follow you all the days of our life, God. So thank you. Watch over us, God, as we continue to seek your face, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Man, bless you guys. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and I will see you guys on Sunday.